Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this final Sunday of April. Can you believe it? Next week is May, but we are on April 27th, the first Sunday now after Easter. And boy, we had a wonderful Easter week. Thank you to everybody who helped or came out. We had a wonderful Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday soup supper and Good Friday service. And then Easter morning, two full sanctuaries of people with wonderful breakfast in between and fellowship time and eggs. Even though it was raining, the kids didn't seem to mind. They went out there and they came back with basketfuls of treats and things. And it was just fun. And it was a wonderful time to celebrate our Lord and all that he has done for us. And so thank you, everybody, for coming out to that. This coming week, we have a couple items that you might want to be a part of. On Saturday, May 3rd there, we'll have a men's breakfast like we normally do the first Saturday of the month. It's at 8 a.m. We're going to do it at the Cove in Waverly. So come on out there if you want to have breakfast with us guys. We're going to have some pancakes and fellowship for an hour, and it should be good. That same day, Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m., the women are going to have a ladies' tea and treats and fellowship here at the church in the basement in the fellowship room. And they've been planning that for a while, and it's a special spring kind of tea. And so register for that if you're interested in going. You can talk to Pastor Jessica, call the church office, or on our church email, you'll see a link or something to a registration for that. They just want to know how many people to expect for, but they're planning to have a great time. So that is coming up here on Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. And then this coming Sunday, so next Sunday, is Confirmation and Youth Sunday. And so our youth pastor Tobias is going to give the message, and our confirmation kids, there's eight of them, going to share their testimonies, and the youth are going to help lead worship in the 10:30 service. And it should be great. We'll even remember our graduates, those high school seniors who are ready to complete in the next couple weeks school. And we're going to pray for them, too. So it's going to be this beautiful coming together of Confirmation and Youth Sunday. So come up for that. That's at 10:30 next Sunday. We'll still have our 8:30 service like normal. And then the final announcement I want to tell you is that starting May 18th, that's when we begin our summer schedule. So on May 18th, we won't have a Sunday school anymore for the summer, and we won't have our 8:30 and 10:30 services. We'll just have one service, and it'll be at 9:30, right in the middle. And that's two services will come together. So the people in the early service and late service will get to see each other now after the year, and we'll be able to worship through the summer together as one congregation and just one time. And that kind of works well in the summer because people are coming and going all the time. And so we can fit everybody in the sanctuary for the one service in the summer. So I hope you will join us for that. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 today. We're back in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll be in it all through the summer. But we have begun that way back at Christmas time, and we're taking it chapter by chapter and looking our way through it. Today we're on the scriptures, beautiful scriptures from Matthew 11, 28 to 30, where Jesus is going to say some very famous lines, an invitation for us to come into the rest of God. And I'm also going to read Isaiah 40, 29 to 31, because it's a similar topic here. And so I think they both will help us explore what rest really looks like today. And so beginning here from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then from Isaiah 40, 29 to 31, it says this, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So here we have two scriptures, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. Both are talking about the same thing today, rest. And they're specifically speaking about a rest that comes from God and a relationship with Christ, like a burden lifted, like being carried up on eagle's wings, true rest from the inside out. The first time we read in the Bible about rest is when God himself rested. It tells us in Genesis that after creating the world in 6 days, on the seventh day, God rested. He looked around, he saw all that he had made and that it was good, and so he rested from all of his work. The next time we read about rest is when God saved his people out of slavery. For 400 years, they had no rest. But God saved them and brought them out into the wilderness. He provided for them, and he gave them his Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments was to rest. Number four says, honor the Sabbath. Just as God worked 6 days and rested from his work, so too we are to take a Sabbath unto the Lord, a day of rest once a week. Now, as far as I know, this idea of making one day a week a day of rest was unique to God's people. No other nations, God's told them to do this. It was just one more thing that God set the Israelites apart and their God apart from other gods. In his mercy, God gave them rest. A whole 24 hours where they didn't have to toil, but they could stop and smell the roses and enjoy the land and the fruit of it. Back then, a day began in the evening, not the morning, and so they began at sundown and started their day of rest with a special meal around the table with their families. And then they went and got some needed sleep. And then in the morning, they went to temple or synagogue to pray and read the Holy Scriptures and to worship God. And then all afternoon, they enjoyed his creation and many blessings. It was a day to remember what life was really about and who they were and where they come from and the God who delivered them out of bondage and gave them this freedom. The one who promised to provide for them, the one who loves them like his own, he is their God and they are his people, they can rest. Sabbath was a command but also a gift. By trusting and obeying, they found rest. You know, becoming a dad has really opened my eyes to certain scriptures I didn't really see before, like all the ones that call God Father. When the people were worrying over things, Jesus reminded them that God was their Father and that they have a good Father who knows what they need before they even ask, and he cares about them. And I had known all of this when I was younger, but I don't think I really even thought about it too much, and I definitely didn't know how it felt to be a dad until I was one. But when you're a dad, you would do anything for your kids, and you love them greater than you thought possible. I'm not going to remember all the details because I'm getting old, but when Aria was little, I can't even remember the age, probably about 8 or 9. But she came to me all worried one day about something that she was all worked up in her mind about, something that she thought she had to do. She was taking this burden upon herself, not realizing that me and Carrie, her parents, had already thought about what she needed and was worried over, and we had already taken care of it. This was not her burden to bear. It was ours. She was 8. We would have never expected her to do this. I remember telling her, "You don't have to worry about any of this, honey. We are your parents, and we look after things like this for you. We love you, and that's our job, to make sure you have this. You can just go and play and enjoy your day with your friends." And as she ran off, I remember the Lord distinctly saying to me, right up in my mind, "This is how I feel about you, Dan. Just like you feel about her, but even 1,000 times more. You are worrying over things that are not yours to carry either. And I have considered them, and I will provide for you. I've got those things because I've got you. I am your Father. You can rest in me. I love you, and I will provide for you. Just as you look at your daughter, I look at you every day." This seems to be at the heart of the word rest in the Bible. It is resting in him. It seems to me this is the heart of the Sabbath, that God was telling his people, you're mine. You can trust me to look after you. Just obey me and know I'm going to look after you. And when God's people did obey the Lord and trust in him, they always had enough. They even thrived when they trusted God. But they never had to go out and work on the seventh day to find food, because he always seemed to take care of it. Everything they needed, and even more than they needed, they could rest in him. They could be still and know that he is God, their God. It's when they started to forget God, or walk away from God, or not believe in him, or worse, when they started to put their trust in false gods, or disobey, or neglect the Sabbath and the other commands, and harden their heart, do their own thing. That's when they fell out of rest. Because the rest of God is connected to the trust of God and the walking with God. It is the Lord who gives us rest. Apart from him, there's only restlessness. I think of Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He does. When our soul is restless, when we are weary, we need to return to the Lord or seek him again or ask him for help to do what he says, because it is the Lord who gives us rest. We rest in him. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, it compares the Sabbath day rest of the Old Testament with the rest that we now have in Jesus Christ. It says the Sabbath day rest of the Old Covenant was just a little taste of the New Covenant rest that we receive in full through a daily relationship with Jesus Christ, God with us. In him, our soul is always at perfect rest, not just one day a week, but every day. Because our life is in him. Even when we work, our soul is at rest. Our mind can be at rest. We come to Jesus for salvation. In him, we are able to stop striving to be righteous through the law. And instead, we can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's enough, all we need. In him, we find rest from our strivings. In him, we also find rest each day as he shows us which way to go. Through the Spirit and the Word, we don't have to wander or to wonder. All we have to do today is follow him. He says in our scripture, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he says. There is rest in the way of Christ. Not so under the heavy yoke of the Pharisees or this world. So the rest of God is connected to the trust of God and walking with God. And throughout Scripture, we see that it is the Lord who gives perfect rest. There are three things I want to point out today from our Scripture of how we can find this rest in the Lord, really good rest, and learn to walk in it ourselves, to live a restful state rather than a restless one all the time. Jesus said here, number one, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This was a big statement by Jesus that he was making. Jesus is saying that he has the power to give rest. And as I just said, rest is something that all of Scripture up until that point said only God can give. God promised rest to his people throughout the Old Testament if they would just trust and obey him. But here we see Jesus promising rest to those who come to him and follow him. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, I am the Lord your God. I will give you rest. There's this neat story in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 12 to 14, when Moses is just exhausted. He was feeling completely overwhelmed at that point by his work, and he was just done. He has this huge job that's too much for him, and it's a little frustrating leading people who want to go every other direction. It isn't easy. He's trying to lead this large group of people across the desert to the promised land. He's trying to get them to get along and to trust in God, and he's been pretty positive up until this point, but now he's getting tired and worn out. He has led the people through the plagues, he stood up to Pharaoh, he's experienced the Passover, crossing of the sea, going up Mount Sinai, only to come down and see the people worshiping some golden calf. He's heard all the complaining and the grumbling, he's all of them learning how to trust in God for the manna and the water. Every day a journey in the hot sun, and the people are being difficult, and Moses is just spent. He is just tired and weary, and he's a bit concerned about going any further, you know? And so he has this kind of raw, authentic, honest conversation with God in Exodus 33. He says, "You've been telling me to lead these people, but who are you going to send to help me? You've told me that you know me by name and I have your favor, but if I really have your favor, then tell me what to do next." Moses is worn out and he's burdened, and God can tell. And so in verse 14, the Lord replies to Moses, and he simply says this: "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses was looking for a person or a solution or a way out or an answer for this concern or a relief from this burden. But instead, God says, "My presence will go with you, and that is enough. Stay with me, and I will give you the rest you seek." The rest of God comes from the presence of God and walking with God. The Lord didn't just give Moses another helper or tell him he didn't have to do the work anymore. God gave Moses himself, and that was enough. He said, "My presence will go with you. Whatever you face, we'll face it together. It won't be too much." Throughout the Old Testament, God is the giver of rest, peace in the land and peace in our heart, all coming from him. He is the one who can give rest. And rarely does this rest come from the removal of a challenge or an obstacle that we must face, or a storm or the work that needs to get done. But it comes from his presence. It is the rest of God. And so what Jesus is saying in our scripture for today in Matthew is similar to what God said to Moses. He's saying, "Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." In other words, follow me and you'll find rest for your souls. Your way is going to keep bringing you exhaustion and weariness. My way is going to be the way of rest. Doing things in your own strength is just going to wear you out. Doing things in my strength is going to renew you. Jesus is declaring himself to be God in this scripture, and that his presence, the presence of God, is now going to go with each believer, just as he went with Moses in the desert. He will be with each of us and give us rest in our journey. The rest we need today, most of all, is the rest of God. In the scriptures, we see Jesus doing miracles, things only God can do. We see him forgiving sins, healing the sick, casting out the demons, calming the storm, raising the dead, things we know only God can do. But do we know that only God can give us rest, the kind of rest we need? Or are we still searching and going our own way and filling our lives with so much and pursuing and chasing around everything the world has to offer and hoping 5 hours a night and a week-long trip to the beach and someday a retirement is going to be enough when we're so tired? But the tired we feel isn't just physical. It's down deep. That's why it can never be fully satisfied in a vacation or in a day off. True rest for our souls is given in Christ as we come to him and we follow him every day. He will lead us by still waters. He will restore our soul, not with a worldly rest, but the rest of God. Now, I'm not saying you don't need a vacation or maybe even a nap this afternoon. Those are golden. But even after these things, if you still find yourself weary, then know it's not just a physical thing. You need the rest of God. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths can grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar like rising up on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. How? They will walk and faint. How? Because He is with them and in them. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened. I will give you rest, the kind of rest that a nap won't cure." You know, I realized this week that I have never prayed for rest. I ask the Lord for a lot of things, but why not rest? I ask Him for healing when I'm sick. I ask Him for forgiveness when I've sinned. I ask Him for wisdom when I don't know what to do. But when I'm tired and sleepless at night and restless and all of my worries, do I ask Him for what I really need? Rest. He gets it. Second thing I wanted to mention here is that I noticed in Matthew 11:28, something I didn't see before, that Jesus promises two different rests. The first is, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." And the second is, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you'll find rest for your souls." And in my study, I think He's referring to two different things here. The first rest is referring to that eternal salvation, that peace of God, that rest that comes from being made right with God, a peace that's only possible through Jesus on the cross. He has finished the work on the cross. We're now able to rest in His forgiveness and salvation, knowing our debt has been fully paid. What a peace that is. Before Christ, the people were under the law, and it was a heavy yoke. And the religious leaders and Pharisees made it even more. They added extra laws and traditions, and it was a lot of work to try to stay good with God. We read in Matthew 23 how Jesus said about the teachers of the law and Pharisees, how they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads, put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to help them. Before Christ, we were busy trying to be righteous in our own good works and always falling short of it. So the first rest that I think Jesus is speaking about here is that when we come to Him in faith, when we stop working for our salvation, but trust in His gift of salvation through the cross, then we find rest. For the debt has already been paid. Instead of living in the constant fear of punishment, we are able, as it says in 1 John, to live in the love of the Lord and freely receive His grace and freely give back to Him our love and service and worship, knowing that His grace is sufficient. That burden has been lifted. He lifted it up on the cross. He is enough. It is a rest that He gives when we come to Him by faith. But the second rest I think we're meant to see here is when Jesus says, "Take the yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You will find this second rest, it says. In other words, I think what it's talking about is you will discover a better way than your way. As you learn from Jesus and His word and His spirit, as you follow the Lord every day, you will discover a deeper rest, a rest that comes from being yoked to Jesus. It's interesting that the word yoke in the Old Testament is this bad thing. It is this bar that unites two animals together so they can work together to pull a heavy load, two oxen yoked together. And that image was often used in the Old Testament to talk about slavery, even the law. Yoke was often used in the negative. But here Jesus is using yoke in a positive way. He's essentially inviting us into slavery, to give our life to Him in order to truly find it, to yoke up with Him, to follow Him, to learn from Him. He won't force us, but He invites us to put our head in the yoke, to willingly submit and trust our life to His leading from now on. And the promise is that if we do this, we won't find a harsh slave driver or an unbearable and brutal master, but one who is gentle and humble of heart, He says. For His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Life without Christ is so much harder than life with Him. The world is a yoke in and of itself. It tells us we got to have this and you need that and you got to impress this person and you aren't anything unless you got this. And we're weighed down by all of these cares and worries of the world. And Jesus said, "Let them go and come and follow me instead." Jesus says, "Take my yoke, learn from me, and you'll find rest for your souls." I tell you, this is the example of the rich young ruler seeking a deeper life, but he wasn't willing to give up his yoke of wealth and power to be yoked up to Jesus and follow him, or he would have found it. And it's true for all of us. There's always a little letting go that we got to do in order to give ourselves fully unto the Lord. Sometimes we try to do it both ways and it's exhausting. But when we finally come to the point when we're ready to surrender to His way, we wonder, why didn't we do this sooner? The second rest is one that is found. It's learned from walking with Jesus. I don't know, but I think many trust in the Lord for their salvation, but they never enter the second rest. They never put their head in the yoke. And maybe at times we can all be like that. Maybe we've had our head in the yoke for a while, and it's fine when Jesus is going in the direction that we want to go. But then He says, let's go over here, or you need to give that up. And we're like, no, I don't want to. But Jesus knows what's best for us and what we need, but we don't always listen to Him. And so we want to go where we think is best. We fight Him, and we dig in our heels. We may even take our head out of the yoke at times, and we want to go our own way, only to see the pain that it brings. But the good news of Jesus Christ is that even when we end up in the mud and the mire, our God is faithful. He'll forgive us our sins if we ask Him. His love is so unconditional that He always keeps coming back to us and saying to us and making that invitation again and again, come to Me, you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke again upon you. Learn from Me. I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The invitation of Jesus is really any and every day to come to Him for rest, to learn from Him about life and how to do it. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, you'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself is the rock eternal. You know, I think that when you aren't sleeping well and your head is full of worries and you're exhausted out from work and life and your schedule is so full that you got no time, you barely know your wife anymore, your attitude's been pretty poor, and you can't seem to find any joy in what you used to, and you don't seem to even have 5 minutes to spend with God and His word in prayer, then chances are you are no longer yoked. It doesn't mean you aren't saved. You aren't a child of God, or you haven't put your faith in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. You have. But it just means that you aren't doing life with Jesus anymore. You've trusted Him for heaven, but you're not trusting Him for life. Somewhere along the way, you slipped your head out of the yoke and put it back. And so you got to go back to Him. You got to let Him show the way. For the rest of God is found in the trust of God and in the walking with God. The opposite of rest is restlessness. You know, I've learned that it doesn't pay to go your own way. It's harder. The other day, I was restless, and I've been waking up again early and pressing, and I realized I was doing all these things and trying to be all these things, and it was all ego. And I wasn't just seeking the Lord and asking Him alone what I needed to do today. And I was putting on myself all these things that He hadn't called me to. And when I stopped and prayed and took some time with Him, things came better into view. And I readjusted and realigned. And that day, when I began it with Him, was totally different than the days before. It was like I had all this time now. What I thought was going to take so much time didn't. I was even able to go for a walk and call my mother, to look around and to breathe. The day is just better when we do it with the Lord in His strength and rest. And then the final thing I want to say today is how the love of Christ at times will move us also to help others who need rest. I think of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, who came to visit and saw how busy Moses was from sunup to sundown, and all these people were coming to him, and how it wasn't good, it was only wearing him out. And so he helped his son set up a system where other people could share the load, and how it wouldn't all just fall on one person. Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love. Sometimes people are going through a lot, and life is just full. And it's not that they're walking away from Christ, but it may be just grief and depression is really heavy for them right now, and they need a friend. Maybe it's finances that are weighing them down, and they need some help. Maybe you're taking care of someone who is sick and it's a lot, or you're the burdens of parenting at times, or kids trying to figure out who they are and what life is about. Sometimes it can be a lot. But we have Christ and we have each other. And that helps. For we are family, the family of God, the body of Christ. And we are here for each other. Together in Christ, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. We all have things we can do to support and encourage each other so that one doesn't feel the weight on the whole world alone. We can pray, we can listen, we can lend a hand. Maybe we can even start at home. How can we help our wife or husband? We can see they're tired, exhausted. What is the Lord asking us to do in His name for them? How can we love one another by helping to carry each other's burdens? So Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I'll give you rest." And that rest is connected to the trust of God and the walking with God every day. In His rest, and maybe even with the help of some of our church family, we'll make it. Maybe in His rest, we find overflow that we can help someone else even do. The gift is the rest that comes from God. It's found in Jesus Christ. Just come to Him. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.